Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk Distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Dynamic Growth, Balanced Income, Select Growth and Income Program. The 401k Solution, Disciplined Equity. These are the diversified programs designed to meet your goals and life situations. From KPP Financial. See more about them on investtalk.com. Click on the Investments tab. And now, today's Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition, March 4th, 2016, of Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. And of course, Invest Talk is open to discuss your money. That's what we're here for, how to make it, how to grow it, how to save it, those kinds of things. And we welcome you as part of the conversation. It's not just me. I can talk about this stuff because I love it. I bore my wife. Every time I start talking about it, she just turns me off. So you have to listen to me out there. But if you want to talk about something else, you're going to have to call. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. You can call me anytime. You can ask me anything you want financial. You can send me an email note by going to contact Steve or contact Justin at investtalk.com. And it's Friday. So usually on Friday, I try to share a little bit of the premium newsletter I send out every Friday morning, 40 before noon or so. And I said it was a good week in this letter, the good week of economic news. The numbers were good. They weren't great, but they were good. And of course, we had the jobs report out this morning, which was better than expected. Even though the unemployment rate didn't move down at all, still 4.9, which is pretty good. But we'll talk about that in more detail. I offered some perspective on the market moves. You know, we've had the market move up 4 days in a row. And where is that relationship to the year-to-date performance, that kind of thing? A couple stock ideas in there. It's a couple of big blue chipper kind of stocks that we said you might want to have on your watch list. One of them we own in our managed accounts. In the portfolio management section, I talk about the overall risk of your portfolio, which you know I talk about a lot. And I talk about political risks, exchange rate risks, and mostly about ADRs, American Depository Receipts, foreign companies that trade on our exchanges, and what the risks were, what are concerning those. And on the Consumer Watch, you know, I talked about, you know, just the useful consumer suggestions thought it was that you might be interested in. This $9.99 a month for the weekly newsletter, if you're ever interested and you want to order it, comes into your email box. You can sign up now by going to investtalk.com. Now, we believe that every investor should expect better than average results from their investments. Accurate information, a balanced perspective, how to protect yourself in down markets, how to grow in up markets. You know, even in up markets, there's times you need to protect yourself. Because the stock market goes in two directions. It has a bias to the upside over long term. But you just got to be aware of how and what drives stock prices. What's with the movement we've had in the last couple weeks? Up. What's driving that? What forces out there driving stock prices up? Do you have any idea of what that might be? I think it's kind of important to know what might be driving the stock market up. Because it's not driving up very robustly, but it is moving up. Do you have questions about it? 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Tim. I listen to the podcast, and I live in Texas. I'm wondering if you have advice on how to find someone to help manage a portfolio. I'm just starting investing, and I don't have anyone helping me, and it wouldn't be very easy to come meet out in California. So how do I find someone locally in Texas? What are your recommendations? Thank you.
There's someone everywhere. I would, it's difficult to find a good, solid, someone you can trust. And that always is a problem, always an issue. But if you want some help, I can still do it long distance. If you send me your portfolio and set up a time to talk about what you want to do and how you want to grow it, I'll be happy to help you with it. But to find someone local, make sure you go through, take a look at their SEC, their ADV filings with the SEC. Check the Better Business Bureau. Make sure that they're okay. And determine how they get paid. Because you don't want to deal with somebody who gets paid by them selling you high commission products, mutual funds and annuities. Those are very high commission things. And so they'll have a bias on that. So be very, very careful. There's no easy way. I think the best way is, you know, talking to friends or relatives and see if they have someone they trust that they use. I get a number of clients that way. So I think that's a good way to do it. Okay? And good luck. It's not easy. But if you want some help, I'd be happy to help you. You know, with this day and age with Skype and emails and, you know, sending back attachments, it's pretty easy to help you long distance these days. The technology is so good. But that's up to you. My number is 800-557-5461 at the office if you want to give me a call, or you can just send me an email. Go on to investtalk.com, click on Contact Steve. So there are 1,500 ETFs available on the marketplace. So how do you make a smart choice? How do you figure which one? Three key questions you should ask every time you're considering an ETF. It's one of our main talking points today. Jobs numbers, I'm going to discuss that in more detail, the report that came out. Why 401ks are not working. Why 401ks, IRAs, not just the 401ks, but IRAs too, why they're not working. It's pretty simple, but we'll talk about that. And something a little lighter, do you guys have apps on your cell phone for shopping, for coupons? If you don't, you're losing out on a lot of savings. Shopping apps you can use to save money. My wife uses one that, I think that's it's an up and coming. Remember the coupons you used to clip out of the newspapers? Those are going away like the dodo birds. They're not gone, but more and more discounts are on your cell phone and shopping apps. So we're going to discuss that. There's one in particular that aggregates a bunch of store apps. Might be something you'd be interested in. So what happened to the market today? We had a fourth day in a row up. The Dow ended up 63 points, the NASDAQ up 10, and the S&P up 7. So you would think that you're all in the clear, things look pretty good, and looks like the market's turned around. Well, it certainly has bounced from a bottom. It's now coming up against pretty strong resistance where it is now. If it tries to keep moving up in the next few days, it's going to hit some pretty strong resistance. And there's going to be our test, everybody. That's our test. It has now, maybe it's 60, 70% back from when it started this year. So, it's bounced up pretty strong. Now, can it keep it up? We had decent economic news this week on a lot of reports, and that was really helped drive the market. But notice, I'm hoping that you're noticing, looking at the volume. Because the volume has been tailing off and off and off. Even in the big day, we had 300 points up this week, the volume was not there. And it's just not a lot of volume. We need to see updates with lots of volume to give us some comfort. We're just not getting it yet. So that's what the market's done. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? It's an award-winning tool that we'll make available free to all our listeners. It's an important risk analysis tool. We have it there on our website for you to look at investtalk.com. Just click on a series of questions and you'll assign a risk tolerance number to yourself. Then you take that number and you know that number, that's your risk number, between 0 and 99. And if it's around 80, that's the risk of the S&P 500. So you know that that's the risk that you can tolerate. And if you give us your portfolio, we'll put it into the other side of that software and we'll match up your portfolio and see what that number comes up with, see what that risk number. It takes just only a couple of minutes. It's there on the blue box on investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve Rejust. This is Dave from Boston, a podcast listener. I'm looking at a REIT. The symbol is GEO, and the price has come way down, but the payout ratio kind of scares me. I wonder if I can get your opinion. Thank you.
Okay, it's GEO Group. It is a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns and leases and manages correctional, detentional, and reentry facilities and community-based youth services. It's a $2.1 billion company. So it's not tiny. It's small, but it's not tiny. And we happen to open this one on our income managed account because they pay an 8.8% dividend. And they're going to grow earnings 14% this year and then another 5% next year to $3.31. Sales growth has been in the single digits except for the most recent quarter. It grew 17%. So good solid numbers with a PE of only 11. Now, you mentioned the payout ratio. Well, what is the payout ratio? It's a $29 stock paying $3.31, and they say they're paying 8.8. So let's just take 9%. 8.8% is what they're saying. Let's say 9% of $29. Okay, what was that, $2.50? Well, they're going to make $3.31. And you can't really, you know, when you talk about REITs, payout ratios don't make a lot of sense because to be qualified for REIT, they have to pay 90% of their earnings per share. They have to pay that out to qualify to be a REIT in the form of a dividend. So you're supposed to have a 90% payout ratio. Any normal stock, we like it to be under 60, but this is a REIT. It's required. And then and if they do that, they don't have to pay corporate income tax. That's what the benefit of a REIT is. So don't worry about the payout ratio. That's not something you should concern yourself with a REIT. Okay? I like it. The stock has been basing for some time. I mean, months. I like it because, you know, as from an income point of view, you just sit back and collect that 8%, 8.8% every year. I do like the fact that recently an insider was buying, but, you know, it hasn't done a lot for a while. But you can be pretty patient when the yield is that high, the dividend yield, and the earnings and sales are still growing. I kind of like it. GEO is a symbol, GEO Group. 888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Oscar. How you doing, Oscar?
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I had a question regarding Transocean Rigs. Mm-hmm. I have a current position on this, but I just wanted to get your opinion.
Okay, we own we don't own Transocean, but we own one stock in this area. I can't tell you which because someone has to call me up. Rig is of course Transocean, and it provides offshore drilling contracts, and it's moved up pretty darn sharply here and recently because oil has recovered a lot. Have you noticed that? I mean,
sure. Yeah, I've been listening to your program.
Yeah. Yeah, so oil's on the recovery path. I don't know how far it could go or will it retrace. And Rig's numbers still don't look very good. They look pretty bad. They made $4.74 a share in 2015. This year, they're only going to make 19 cents a share. And next year, they're scheduled to lose 72 cents a share. Okay, so even though you might say the PE looks really, really low because it's a, you know, $12.71 stock, and they made $4.74. That's looking backwards. Looking forward, the PE is really, really high. So
yeah.
You have to kind of buy this kind of stock based on what you think oil is going to do, Oscar. If you think oil is going to continue to recover, or at least, you know, not fall, and it's going to stay up in this area and slowly get higher, then these kind of stocks are going to work. And you had really high volume while the stock was moving up. So from a technical point of view, this thing has really done very well. Wait a few days next week if you want to buy it. See if it pulls back down a little bit to buy, because I think you might get that.
I was wondering if I should sell now and buy more later.
I think that might be a good idea because I do think it will pull back from this spike up. I really do.
So okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's hard to time them that quickly, but this thing has really done great. I mean, we're going from $8 to almost $13 in 5-6 days. That's a huge percentage move. Huge. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is InvestTalk, made possible by our firm, my firm, and Justin's firm, KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Saeed in Houston. How are you doing, Saeed?
Hey, doing good, Steve. I really love your show. You and Justin both great.
Thank you.
Hey, I have two I have two quick questions, so don't hang me up after one question. First is, do you think S&P already hit the resistance and is going to pull back or retrace like 30%, 50% on FR chart, or you think it's going to rally to encase double top?
Okay, it's kind of hard to hear you. You're in an echoey kind of thing. You said, do I think what is going to retrace? What was that question again?
Oh, I'm saying S&P, you think it hit today because it just closed 199.99.99, so it shows like some technical stuff is there.
I see.
It did not close above 2,000, so I was watching it. So you think the rally is going to continue on Monday
and
do double top?
I think it's getting very close to resistance right now. So it's probably, the question is, it's got to break through the resistance. And that resistance is really, really tight, right around 2,000, right where it is. And between 2,000 and 2,023, it's going to be very difficult to break through that. Then the next resistance is like 2,100. You know, so I think next week we're going to get a good test to see if the market can continue to rally. And I'm holding on to my defensive positions until I see if that's going to happen or not.
That's great. Okay. Second, I am I'm using Thinkorswim platform. And I want to put 50-day moving average and 200-day moving average.
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm not finding it in there. I mean, I can call them and check, but I thought maybe you are a smart guy here, so maybe quickly,
well, there's a,
if you can.
Have you ever looked at stockcharts.com and you can put moving averages in, any moving average you want? There's three of them. You can put three of them at one time. And then you can say
stockcharts.com.
Stockcharts.com.
And
they let you build a chart using a lot of different factors. And you can put three moving averages in it, and it will hold it. You can save your settings. So the next time you go into it, it's your settings, and you just type in symbols, and it stays there. I think it's a very good free charting program. If you wanted to.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's really great. But okay. Do you think, I mean, it has a different name, like a DMA is daily moving average.
Well, there's
WMA.
Yeah. See, there's different kinds of moving average. There's exponential moving average, EMA, simple moving average, SMP, SMA. And, you know, there's different kinds. And they only have those two on the free websites. I buy a charting program. And I can put the moving average on the high of the day for whatever length of time, the low of the day, or the high, low, and midpoint of the day divided by three. You know, I can get really exotic, but you know, you don't have to be that exotic. A simple moving average is fine.
You think like 50-day moving average has a different name or something? Maybe
nope.
You know. No? Okay.
No. Appreciate the call, Saeed. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, you can get I have 20, 50, 100, and 200-day moving averages on my chart consistently. I mean, that's just the way I build it. It stays there. So I think that's very helpful. Let's see. We only got 3 minutes, so I can't really do that. Jobs report. Let's just go over that real fast. Today, they had 242,000 new jobs reported for February. They expected only 172, so that was a pretty good increase from the expectation. The unemployment rate stayed at 4.9%, didn't move. The little bit of gray, little dark cloud in the report was that wages fell 0.1%. They expected it to grow like 0.2%, but it fell instead. Year over year, wages have increased 2.2, but you know, only going up 0.1%, going down 0.1%. I mean, that's not a good news. Labor participation rate, you know, I like to watch this one, and it went up. You want it to go up because you want more people participating in the labor market. It went from 62.8, which is practically a 40 year low. It went from 62.8 to 62.9. Not much of a move, but if it continues to go that direction, that'd be pleasant. So, you know, the job market, you cannot say that it's not doing well. It's doing well. Not doing great, but it's doing well. It's putting more and more people to work every month. So our economy is still cooking along here. And I've told you, now, Why, and we had good economic news this week, and not great, but good. Why is that not necessarily positive for the market? And there's two things you should think about. The better the numbers are economically coming out, the more likely the Fed's going to raise rates again. Market hates that. And you look at the earnings per share estimates going forward for corporations, and they've fallen 6% already in the first two months this year. They're being ratcheted downward, not upward. Corporate profits aren't rising. They're not. The main reason is because, remember, 50%, 60% of S&P 500 earnings are outside the United States, and we are doing fine, but not everybody else. So that's why. It's not necessarily, even though the numbers are looking better, not necessarily good for the market. I mean, it's not bad for the market, but it's certainly, when the Fed is tightening, it's a problem. The market doesn't like tightening of financial conditions. You listen to Invest Talk coming up on the next half hour. What do you know that can hurt you? 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. I mean, what you don't know can hurt you. 888-992-4278.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. On the next Invest Talk, an insurance agent is selling you on the merits of a cash value policy as a way to invest for retirement. What's wrong with using insurance as an investment? That's our main talking point on the next Invest Talk, and we hope you can join us then. We continue with Invest Talk for Friday, March 4th. On this date in economic history, the headlines read, U.S. enacts embargo against the British. Halting trade with the British was meant to halt attacks against U.S. merchant ships. But tensions with Britain eventually boiled over into the War of 1812. Invest Talk is open to your money headlines right now, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Steve in San Jose. How you doing, Steve?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. My question is about stop losses, or more specifically, trailing stops.
Okay.
Can you tell me a little about how they work? I'm concerned about losing some of my gains here if the market doesn't hold up.
Well, it depends on your brokerage firm whether they let you put stop losses in and what kind of stop loss that they'll let you put in. But if you're, if you're trying to put in a stop loss, you have to decide how you want it to trigger a trailing stop loss. Do you want it to trigger when the stock pulls down a certain number of points to a certain level? Do you want it to trigger when it pulls down a certain percentage? Do you want it to trigger when it pulls below a moving average? So you have to first figure out how you want to place it. Almost all of the stop losses that are allowed through brokerage firms, through individuals like yourself, you have to put a price in. I want the stop loss to go in at $32.12. If it drops below that, I want to automatically be pulled out. So what you have to do is you have to look at it and reset it every so often, because as the stock moves up, remember, it's a trailing stop loss. You want to keep moving that stop loss up. Okay?
Right.
So you put...
The way it was explained to me is I could pick a percentage, let's say 7%,
okay,
off of the closing high of each day, and it would automatically reset to whatever that new high was.
Well, that's pretty nice, because many brokerage firms won't let you do that. And so now you have to decide what percentage you want to use. Okay, try not to be, remember, each individual stocks moves independently. So some stocks are very violent or very volatile, and some hardly move at all. So the ones that hardly move at all, you won't want to put 7%. That's too much. Okay, if for stocks that are very, very, they're very, lots of volatility, 7%, 8%, 9%, even 10% could be okay. You know, so you have to really kind of study your particular stock and see how it moves, and then put your trailing stop loss. So as soon as the price hits your stop loss, okay, it will trigger a sale. Doesn't necessarily mean, Steve, that you'll get that exact price. but they'll get it as close as possible usually.
Terrific. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Uh-huh. And, you know, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, liquidity of the stock. If it's a very illiquid, you might get a bad fill. Let's go to Gene in North Carolina. Listen to us on podcast. Hi, Gene. How you doing, Gene?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a question about the jobs report and the labor participation rate you mentioned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you mentioned that it went up slightly, the participation rate.
Yes.
I guess compared to last month.
Yes.
And in general, you know, I hear people say that part of why overall the labor participation rate is high is because of people retiring.
Yes, that's part of the reason. Yes, I would have to agree with that. Part of the reason is, as you get older, but see, the labor participation rate only counts ages from, like, I don't remember exactly, like 22 to 65. Yeah, so
that's what I was wondering. Yeah, if they broke it out so that they would just do a separate participation rate for people who are not retiring because of age.
Yeah, so it tries to do that, and of course it's imperfect, right? We know that, you know, Gene, these things are always imperfect. But because who's to say that retiring at 65 is what the baby boomers will be doing? Some of them retire earlier, some retire later. So, but they try to use the same gauge as much as possible. And another little bit misleading is that this one of the reasons why it's so low is not only because the baby boomers are getting retiring, it is because it's just not a perfect reading. I like it better than the 4.9% they report every month, because you know how they come up with that number? They call up the households. They call up. They do a survey. Not a lot. We're only talking a couple few thousand. That's all they call up every month. Are you working? Yes. No. Oh, okay. There's unemployment rate. To me, that's just terrible. So, don't think any of these numbers, Gene, are very good. They're just,
you know. You're an employer. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yourself.
Uh huh.
So did you ever participate in the survey of the BLS?
They've never asked me. I've never seen it. Over all the years I've been self-employed and had employees, I've never been asked, ever.
I have an S-Corp with just myself, and for several years I participated because they sent me postcards saying that either I have to fill out something online every month or they'll call me every month. And for an S-Corp, I guess you know how many employees I have. They have three questions they ask me every month. They ask me how many employees, how many employees are those are women, and how much was your total salary did you pay out?
I have an S corp, and I've never gotten those questions asked me.
Yeah.
I'm not very comfortable with the methodology. I just I use it and I report it. I just always take it with a grain of salt.
Do you have time for one quick question about this?
I'm sorry, Gene. I got to go to the next caller. I really appreciate it, though. Thank you very much.
You got it. Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Let's go to Manu in Fremont. How you doing, Manu?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a general question. I was trying to ask you for many months anyways. You know, I don't do day trade, but let's say I work. I work now. If I don't work, so what is the tax rate at that time, if it's a long term or short term? Because right now it's based on your income, right? But let's say you don't work.
Uh-huh.
How they figure it out?
Okay.
How much tax? Let's say I buy a stock and have it for less than a year, 9 months.
Uh-huh.
How it works?
Okay. You're talking apples and oranges here. When you work, you're working for an income. That's an active income. So you're actually working for an income, and that's an income tax rate that you're charged. The capital gains rate when you buy and sell stocks is a separate tax on your capital gains and losses. Okay? So you don't add them together. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you figure them separately. So your capital gains and losses are figured on short-term versus long-term, okay? Now, if you have short-term, the capital gains under 12 months are taxed at your income tax rate, but it's still a separate tax.
That is why I called.
Yeah, it's still a separate rate, though, a separate tax, okay? So it depends on what rate you are of the income of the what you're working that year. If you have a lot of income, your short-term capital gains tax will be higher. If you have hardly any earned income, it will be lower.
My question is, if I don't work, I don't want to work,
uh-huh.
because I don't need the working income, then how uh-huh. it will work?
Then you're. I see. So if you have no income, what's your tax rate?
I want to leave a job. Yeah, that's what uh-huh. I want to leave a job, and then uh-huh. want to figure out how much my tax will be, because uh-huh. that will come only from stocks.
Okay, that's a legitimate question, and I'm not sure I have the answer to that. You might have to call up an accountant for that. And if anybody knows the answer, please give me a call, because I, you know.
Yeah, if I'm working, then I don't have any issue. But if I don't work, then there is no income tax.
Yep, no income tax. So then what is your tax rate on short-term capital gains? And I guarantee you there's a base rate. I guarantee it. I just don't know what it is. Manu, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Yeah, taxes is not my strong point, everybody. I just kind of, you know, I deal with them like you do when tax time comes around. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, but I would like to know that answer. I think that would be a good answer to know. Are you satisfied with your current retirement portfolio? Do you worry that you may be taking too much risk in it with the stock market? Maybe it's time for a review, comprehensive review. One of the services I provide to a limited number of people, listeners, is a free checkup. Take a look at it. I will be in San Ramon next week, March 9th. To save your time, just go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting with Steve. Appreciate it. We're going to go ahead, not take a break. We're going to go to John in Fremont. How you doing, John?
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Good. Hey, so I got I wouldn't call it a dilemma, but so I am currently in the plumbers union, mm-hmm. and I've been in it for 15 years or so. I collect and I have a pension.
Right.
Now I'm getting into management now, and I'm being presented with the opportunity to go salary. And
right.
what that does is it saves the company from having to pay the extra package for my benefits, my pension,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. And that's it's a substantial amount. So, what I have also is I have a 401A as an Apple.
Right.
Which I do $10 an hour. I put into that to limit my tax liability. And
right.
The problem with that is I'm not able to manage it. Basically, I get a statement once a year.
The union manages it, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know, and the company that I work for, they have a 401k, they have health benefits and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to make sure that I'm making the right move.
Yeah, that's a toughie. That's tough, John.
So if I you know, so if I do make the move, I'll have their 401k. Is there any other options that I should look into? I also have some IRAs that I put money towards every year.
Yeah, you'll lose the 401A. You can't contribute to that anymore. Now you'll have a 401K that you start to contribute. And, of course, I don't know. Do you know how much you're putting in a year in your 401A? You said $10 an hour, but how much does that equal at a year? Do you know?
So it's $350 a week.
Okay.
$357,
$1,400. Okay.
$1,400 a month. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's what, $15,000 or so? In a 401K, you can put up to $18,000. How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 40 years old.
Okay, so you're not old enough for the catch-up, which means you could put another $66,000 in per year, making $24,000, and that won't happen until you're 50. So at your age, it's $18,000 is how much you could put away in your 401k if you want to. Do they have a matching? Do they match any money in your 401k?
They do. So they match up to 3%.
Okay, for all, so up to 3% of your salary. So you're getting some free money. So if you put 3%, will they put 3% in?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They'll match up to 3%.
Okay, then after if you put in 5%, they're still going to put in 3. That's the maximum, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So on that benefit, you're getting free money there, and you have to decide, is it worth the extra salary? And it's a tough one when you go from being an independent worker and to an employee of a company. I have a couple of relatives that had this quandary, because some of them saying, well, I make even a little bit less becoming management. But then again, you might get better salary increases too, So.
Yeah. So it'll be probably another 30 grand a year that I'll get on top of my yearly. Right. So it's a substantial amount that I'll be taking home.
So it sounds like I don't see how you can pass it up. Actually, you got to take that 30 grand. Yeah.
Now is that 18 grand a year? Is that just for the 401k? And then I can how much can I put towards my IRAs?
If you put in 18K, you can't put anything to a regular IRA. You can't.
Okay.
I'm not sure about a Roth, though. I have to ask an accountant about that. Because, Roth is after-tax dollars. But I'm not sure.
Right.
That I don't have the answer for. So the total limit would be 18K. You can't put 18K there and then put another 6,000 in a regular IRA. They won't allow you to do that.
Okay. So it was okay. So I misunderstood. It was my understanding that maybe it was a Roth that you could put in each account up to 18K, but apparently not.
No, you cannot. No. But talk to your accountant when you do your taxes. Have you done your taxes yet?
Yeah, we're in the process of it.
Okay, well, when you get your taxes, ask him. He should know. They should know.
Okay.
That's what they do for a living. I'm sorry I couldn't help you that much with that, John. Appreciate the call, though. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART. Why aren't 401ks and IRAs, why are they not working? That's going to be one of our talking points, one I want to get to. And mostly because people aren't using them. That's mostly, but that's not the entire answer. But that's part of the problem. In 2013, the average 401k IRA was $95,000. In 2001, it was $91,000. So it went from $91,000 to $95,000 in 12 years. 50% of the working age families have no money in retirement. 50%. And I've seen this in real life, by the way, going and talking to people about signing up for their 401k or the small employer, and employees don't want to do it, even when the employer was matching some of the money because they wanted all the money. It is difficult for low income families to give up some savings, but boy, you're going to shoot yourself in the future. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. I'm here to answer any questions you might have. 888-992-4278. Okay, we're going to go ahead and talk to Michael in New York, who's a podcast listener. He wants to talk about PG. How you doing, Michael?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for the call.
I've been holding this position for a short period of time, about six or 9 months. I'm up about 9%. I'm curious if I should take some off the table or if I should just continue to hold. I'm 24 years old, and I've been investing since I was 18.
Okay, Procter & Gamble is one of those companies, Michael, you could hold forever for 30 years, and you'll do very well in it. You won't do great, but you'll do very well. And you could just put it in a drawer and ignore it. If you're you want to look at it more of a shorter term, I would think that it's getting very close to a short-term top here. Because it's selling, it's PG, everybody. Everybody knows Procter & Gamble, manufactures beauty care, cleaning products. It's huge, $225 billion. It pays a 3.2% dividend. But the PE ratio is kind of high for this kind of company. Profit margins are not very good. They're always skinny for these kinds of companies. And the PE is sitting at 20, 21. And its five-year average is 15 to 24. So it's right in the middle there. And we're faced this year with a market that's going to be difficult. And the stock has done very well. I would be tending, if I didn't want to hold it forever, I would tend to take it off the table now. That would what I would
all
do,
right.
Michael. Okay? So you just have to decide what kind of holder you want to be. Okay?
All right. Appreciate, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, let's talk about three key questions to answer when you're considering to buy an ETF. And they're not a difficult question. First of all, what is the underlying index the ETF is following? And now some ETFs are following different parts of the market, but generally most of them follow some kind of index. And you have to just understand what it is that you're following, what it is following. Okay? So is it the stocks that you want? The next, and that's really the most important question. Next is, well, how much does it cost? What are the fees involved in here? Now, all ETFs has an expense ratio, okay, all of them. But some ETFs are more than others. And, you know, if you're just following an index, the expense ratio should be very, very low. But you need to find out how much and compare the different ETFs. If an ETF is S&P, checking the S&P 500, and there's 10 of those out there somewhere, why would you not go with the cheapest one? The third thing you need to consider yourself is liquidity. Some of the ETFs are pretty exotic, and it may be difficult. They may not be as liquid. I'll give you an example. Remember the run we had on junk bonds a couple of months ago, a really bad run, and one of the funds out there stopped refunds. People wanting their money out, wanting to get out. And that was a mutual fund that, in other words, what happened is that then made even the ETF illiquid that followed the same junk bond. So you got to figure out, you know, make sure it's very liquid. You want a liquid ETF so that you, when you want to get out, you can get out. When everybody's trying to stampede for the door, you got a problem. Because everybody's stampeding, everybody can't get out the door. Same way with a stock, by the way. Same thing. Shopping apps. Going out shopping, you can save a lot of money if you use shopping apps on your cell phone. Amazon, Walmart, Target, all the big, my wife uses Michaels. It's an app on her phone, and she checks it if she goes to Michaels and see if there's any discounts. And there they are, shopping apps. Now, if you don't want to buy the individual, not buy, but actually download the individual applications, you can use Shopkick, S-H-O-P-K-I-C-K. It aggregates different coupons from a lot of different stores. I mean, last year, 49% of all coupons were digital on smartphones. Almost half the coupons that are now are on your digital phones that we use. And 25% were used by 55 years or older. So it's a big thing, and it's just going to get bigger. Our time is up. A reminder that if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly, you can send me a note by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Contact Steve. That's an email that comes directly to me. I'm Justin Klein. I'm Steve Peasley with Justin Klein. I mean, not here with me today, but for Justin Klein and everybody else at KPP Financial, which is a registered investment advisor firm, I want to thank you for listening today, and let's do it again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.